And we're back here on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee on your Wednesday afternoon. Brett Johnson hosting today's program. Well, just recently, the UN climate report was released, which basically shows that our agriculture industry, not just in the United States, but the entire world, is in a really dire condition. And then we have this stat as well here in the United States. Apparently, every 30 seconds, a football field worth of America's natural areas is disappearing to roads, houses, pipelines, and other developments. So joining us to talk about the need for conservation is Matt Lee Ashley. He once served as the Deputy Chief of Staff at the Department of the Interior, and he's also now with the Center for American Progress. Matt, welcome to the program. And that's just an insane stat I read a second ago. Every 30 seconds, we're losing a football field worth of our natural areas. That's nuts.
It is nuts. Thanks for having me on, Brett. Yeah, it's a bit surprising because we each experience kind of change near where we live in different ways. We might see kind of a shopping mall getting built or kind of a woodland being logged or taken down for housing, but it's hard to know what it adds up to. And so we commissioned a team of scientists to develop what is now the most comprehensive picture of the human footprint in the lower 48 and to map how that has changed over the last couple decades. And that's what they found, is that across the United States, we're losing an average of about a football field worth of natural area every 30 seconds. So sprawl is happening quickly. Lots of land conversion is happening quickly. And there needs to be a conversation about how to step up our efforts to conserve the places that we want to pass down to our kids and grandkids.
Now, over at the Center for American Progress, which is the organization you're part of now, you guys have recently put together this study that says we should have a goal to try to conserve 30% of those areas by the year 2030. Can you talk about the scientific basis in coming up with those numbers? And overall, what kind of caused you to study the topic?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's not our goal. It's not one we pulled out of thin air. There's been a lot of scientific literature over the last couple of decades trying to understand how much nature, essentially, we need to keep around to be able to provide clean water and clean air, and also to have enough critters and biodiversity in the world to support our human communities. And there's a famed ecologist named E.O. Wilson who has written extensively about this, and his view is that we need about half of the planet in a natural condition to be able to support all life forms, so people as well as wildlife. We're a long ways away in the United States from protecting half of all land, and so scientists have said, hey, we need a goal to try to get ourselves on the right track. And so there's an effort to coalesce around a goal of protecting 30% of lands and oceans by 2030. Just for perspective, about 12% of the country right now is protected as a national park, a wildlife refuge, or wilderness area. So this would be a very ambitious target, and it would require us doing more to conserve lands and waters, but we would propose doing so in a way that is dynamic and flexible, and that acknowledges that it's not just the government here that would be doing the work, but ranchers and farmers and private landowners have a big role to play in being good stewards of our lands and wildlife.
So by protecting 30% as this goal, does that mean these are turned into national parks, or is future development prevented on these areas? What exactly does that mean by protecting 30%?
Yeah, it's not a one-size-fits-all answer. In some places, it does make sense to create wilderness areas or to create wildlife refuges that are managed by the government. But the other side of it is that in the U.S., we are really good at creating smart ways of managing natural places when we want to protect them. And so, the Farm Bill, for example, is full of really good conservation programs that help ranchers and farmers protect wetlands and wildlife habitat. And so we need to redouble those kinds of programs and support private-led conservation, state lands, helping tribal nations conserve lands that matter to them. So this is not a solution that can be applied evenly everywhere. This is about trying to help local communities do more to protect the places that matter to them nearby.
Over the past few years and decades, what's caused us to lose so much of these natural areas? Has it just been straight development through commercial and housing or pipelines, or is part of this climate change as well that's been causing us to lose so much of our natural areas?
It's a story that's a little bit different in each part of the country. So in the West, for example, there's been a lot of sprawl of cities. You see Las Vegas is a good example, kind of sprawling out and consuming open lands around it, and also a lot of oil and gas development in places like Wyoming and New Mexico. In the Midwest and in Minnesota, a lot of growth of farming into areas where there was previously ranching. So there's been a fair bit of sod busting in parts of the state. And then there's other kind of traditional threats to natural places like mines that are, you know, in places that have important ecological values. And climate change is contributing to the stresses on natural places, and in some ways the changes to the climate kind of make the protection of natural areas even more important, because as a place gets warmer and the habitat changes, wildlife need places to move. And so trying to not just protect individual pockets of lands, but trying to connect them through corridors of various kinds becomes really, really important in a changed climate.
Now, of course, we're located here in Minnesota, and we have one massive area that's, well, made up of natural land, and that, of course, is the Boundary Waters, located in northern Minnesota, which could possibly be affected by several mines, including Polymet, which, of course, we found out is owned by a giant corporation called Glencore. So a lot of people that oppose this are saying, well, if we can just get a guarantee, not just from Polymet, but from Glencore, saying that if there is an oil spill or a mining spill, that they're guaranteed to clean this up. But what I like what you guys are saying, no, we should actually be conserving these areas because, well, cleanup isn't necessarily the best way to go about an environmental disaster, and ultimately not building a mining operation is the best way to protect those lands.
Yeah, and the reality is that a development proposal like that isn't just about the footprint of the mine. It's about the watershed around it because of the of high likelihood for spills and problems. I mean, a lot of parts of the country where, you know, look at the West, where there's kind of abandoned mines and mine tailings still all over the place. And when there's a breach of a tailings pond, it pollutes the rivers and streams for hundreds of miles downstream. And so when you're looking at the Boundary Waters, you have to think about the integrity of that entire landscape and what it means to the state of Minnesota and what it means to the economy up there. I think it's the most visited wilderness area in the country. So it's you know, a powerful economic engine in a lot of different ways for Minnesota, and certainly those natural attributes, the purity of the water and the remoteness of it, makes it extremely important to the state and to the country.
Yeah, and as you talked about the economic impact, is that almost a more powerful argument sometimes to make rather than just the environmental impact? Because sometimes people hear that, especially if they do lean a little bit more right, they say, well, the environment's fine. But yeah, if you start really affecting their economy, especially as you're talking about northern Minnesota, where tourism is a massive part in terms of how that area makes money, or if you bring in that economic aspect, that might also help us get to that 30% goal of conservation.
It can be. You know, the economic argument is an important one. We've done a fair bit of public opinion research over the years, though, and a desire to protect nature is not a view that is monopolized by any one party. We did some polling recently that found that about 80+% of Americans would actually support a goal of protecting 30% of lands and oceans by 2030. And I think a lot of that in the general support we get for conservation in polling is rooted in the common experiences that Americans have in the outdoors, and that you know, it's not always reflected in our politics. I'm sad to say that, you know, the things that happen at the local level by Democratic and Republican elected officials at the county and city level, for some reason that's not translating to Washington. And so there's not a whole lot that Congress is currently doing right now to help conserve lands and waters, even though the polling and local elected officials are often on the side of trying to protect places that matter to citizens nearby.
Do we have any examples from around the world or even locally here in specific states of how they've succeeded in terms of protecting some of their natural lands areas?
You know, you'd be hard-pressed to find a town or a county or a state, well, certainly a town or a county across the United States that doesn't have some park or open space or river that they're not proud to have protected. You know, I think about the wildlife refuge in Minneapolis right there along the river, which is, you know, in the heart of a city, and a lot of work has been done to protect and restore that, and it's become a place for kids to go and learn. There's a story behind each one of those places we've conserved in this country, and people are working to protect more, but the federal government in particular needs to provide more tools and more support to help accelerate those efforts if we're going to do a better job of slowing down the disappearance of natural areas in this country.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head right there. If you bring it to that local level where you say your local stream or your local wetland will be affected,
yep,
that definitely gets people a little bit more concerned about the topic.
You got it. That's right. And we, you know, we think locally for good reason. Those, you know, these are the places we know that we take our kids to, or that we hike. So, you know, what are the things that we can do to help create more outdoor opportunities for people, and to have solutions and policy ideas that fit the needs of local communities? And it just, the unfortunately, you know, conservation has not been much of a national priority in the last couple decades, and we've seen the patterns in Congress. We've studied the number of bills that have passed, and the amount of land and ocean protected in recent Congresses has fallen from the 70s and 80s. So the pace of work, the pace of conservation work at the national level has really slowed. So it's time to you know, try to reignite that and try to get a new focus on kind of protecting and restoring wildlife populations and doing the basic work of thinking through what are the natural places that we want to leave in good shape.
Absolutely. And well, the key is once those spaces are gone, they're generally not coming back. So you really only have one shot to protect them.
That's right, or they're extremely expensive to restore. So it's a lot cheaper to protect something in the first case rather than trying to clean up something bad that happens to them.
We've been speaking with Matt Lee Ashley. He's the Senior Director of Environmental Strategy and Communications at the Center for American Progress, also served as the Deputy Chief of Staff at the Department of the Interior. Hey, Matt, thanks so much for taking some time to talk about this important topic that unfortunately doesn't get as much play as it probably should, but really appreciate you taking some time out today.
Thanks, Brett. I appreciate you having me on.
Coming up next on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, we're going to switch gears and get a little more local, talking about the lack of affordable housing here in the Twin Cities and the state of Minnesota, as we'll be speaking with Chip Halbach. He's the former executive director of the Minnesota Housing Partnership.